Good morning, LMCC. It's 2021, we made it. Happy New Year. I'm so excited to be with you all this morning. I can't wait to see what God has for us after the year we've been through, right? There's got to be divine plan in this. And so I'm so excited to enter this new year with you, all of you all. I'm really curious and expectant to see what God's got for all of us. It's been a hard year. I mean, there's been a lot of loss and real grief that's gone on, and God has grieved that with us. He's been in that with us, and there's been real joy and babies born and new adventures and new jobs, and that's exciting too, and God's been in all of that with us as well. I'm just curious to see what 2021 holds as we enter this new season with God, where he says your endurance and your perseverance will be rewarded. We have endured with him in some ways. We have persevered, but we've also triumphed in a lot of ways. And I think that's very exciting for us to think about that. I know Logan talked to you all last week about some times of prayer and reflection, some times of thinking back through this last year and the things that have gone on. And so I hope you've had time to do that. That's an exciting way to enter the new year, is to say, let me look at all that God's done. And maybe not understand all of it, but still look at it with gratitude and praise that he was in all of it, and that we've made it to 2021 and we're in this new year together. What people are tempted to do though in the new year is make resolutions, right? And I know Logan talked to you about this last week as well. And resolutions are a good thing. We have to have goals, right, and objectives in our life to get after. And so I think resolutions can be a good thing. I think it'd be interesting if we thought about it in a deeper way with God, not just to make resolutions, but to really ask him, where are the areas in my life where you really want to get into? Where is there some real change that needs to be done? And for longer than January or February or whenever we lose interest in those resolutions. So what does that mean, right, to go deeper with God? And I was thinking about that too. I've been thinking about that. What does that mean to surrender some areas to God that maybe I haven't surrendered in the past? And you all know this idea of surrender has been in my mind for a long time. And for those of you all who know me, God works with me on this concept a lot, this idea of surrender. What are you holding back from me, Marcy? Where are the areas where you're not letting me in? And where are the areas where you're not laying it all down? And I know a lot of you all are thinking, forget it. I have already given up control in so many areas of my life. I am not ceding any more ground. This year has been crazy, and there's been so many things that I haven't been able to control. And so you're saying, I will not voluntarily give up any more ground. Well, guess what? We're all mistaken in that. There is more ground to be given. There is more control to be relinquished. There is more intimacy and deeper space with God that we can get into. And I believe this is the year of surrender, total surrender. And so we're going to unravel that together, that word total. Last week, Logan spoke to you about revelation and praying for that. And he talked to you about in the way that God wants to use you this year, and how he might have things that he wants to reveal to you for the next steps for you. And that's so exciting and fun. I want to talk to you, though, as what that revelation might mean from a little bit different lens. What might it look like if we look at it from a little bit different space? And so we're going to talk to you about that today. What does God want to reveal to us, and what do we do with it? So as you know, if I'm going to preach to you all, God just whips my butt first. There's never a sermon where I think, oh good, God's got something to say to somebody else, and he just wants to use me to do it. No, I have to live the sermon live and in technicolor before God will let me bring it to you. And so that's exactly what happened this time. And I'm going to take you into a little personal part of my story real quick. You all know I'm retired military and have been out for a little bit over 3 years now, and have been working in ministry. And God has been really gracious in that, and really made some bridges from military service to ministry that I wasn't really sure how we were going to do. Didn't make a lot of sense to me, but he's been able to do that. And so one of the weird idiosyncrasies about me, and there are many, but this is just one of them. One of the weird idiosyncrasies about me is I don't like to watch military movies. I don't like to watch military TV shows, and for lots of reasons, which we won't go into. But I have a friend who used to work for me, and he's a technical director on some military movies out in LA. And so every once in a while, he'll send me something and say, hey, I worked on this. I really want you to watch it. Well, of course, I'm interested, you know, in what he's doing. And so I will often do that just to say to him, you know, hey, this is such a great new season of your life, even though I really don't want to watch any of those things. And he knows that. So anyway, parallel to this is, a lot of you know, I've been dealing with some muscular pain and some things for quite a while now, actually. And the doctors are saying, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You just have muscle pain. It's probably the way you sit at your computer. It's probably, you know, being out of the Army for 3 years and now having a more still job than I had before. And my muscles are revolting against that. So anyway, kind of in parallel, these things are going on, and I'm trying to work through this muscle stuff, and part of it is getting old, and, you know, there's just all kinds of factors in there. So my friend calls me, and he says, hey, I worked on this series on Netflix. It's called Medal of Honor. And what it is snippets and series of all the Medal of Honor recipients. And so they've done documentary, essentially, on the different people who've received the Medal of Honor. And he said, I worked on a few of them, and there's a couple of them I want you to watch about Afghanistan. You know some of the people that are represented, and I want to get your opinion. So I said, oh, okay, that sounds great. I'm thinking documentary, no problem. It's going to be interviews with people and telling the story, right? So put my daughter to bed, get on my couch, sit down, turn on Netflix, turn on the Medal of Honor series. I'm about 10 minutes into this thing, and I'm telling you, they did a great job. It is about as realistic as you could possibly get, and they did a fantastic job on it. And so I'm watching, and all of a sudden, I'm in a full-on sweat. All of a sudden, all these muscles that have been hurting are in a full-on clenched-up spasm. Now, mind you, I'm sitting in my living room. There's no danger. Everything is fine. And my body is going into full, I'm sitting in Afghanistan mode. I can feel the heat. I can taste the dust. All these muscles are clenched up. And I'm thinking, what is going on? I can feel the atmosphere around me. The adrenaline starts to pump. And then I think, I got to turn this off. I got to shut this off. And so I turn off the TV show and I stand up. I'm in my living room. Everything's fine. Nobody's shooting at me. And I hear God audibly say, you ready to lay that down? I'm thinking, what do you mean? He said, that is the unsurrendered part of Marcy. And I would like you to lay it down. And I'm in my living room at 10 o'clock at night thinking, God, I've surrendered everything to you. I've done everything you've told me to do. I've followed you. I've been obedient. I've given my money, and I've done the ministry work you've asked me to do, and I've done everything you've asked me to do. And he's like, nope. Are you ready to lay that down? And so I really had to think about that. Now, don't be confused. The answer in my head was, no, I don't want to lay that down. I am a master compartmentalizer. That stuff has stayed in its box for a long time. 25 years in the military and 3 years out, and there's been no need to dig around in that stuff. I have that tied up and hidden away, never to see the light of day again, and I'm okay with that, right? God's saying, no, that area is ruling you. Do you understand? It's become a tyrant in your life. It is ruling over you. You can count on that. And it was such an interesting moment of anything that we refuse to surrender to God becomes a ruler over us, whether we believe it or not. Or they can be submitted to God and healed and used for his kingdom work. And so I realized, standing in my living room, that I had a decision to make, and I realized that us together, we had a decision to make. This whole idea of surrendering to someone else's control just runs counter to us, right? To our whole culture. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to have control. But paradoxically, we're never free until we completely and totally surrender to God, the full surrender to him. So the thought of delving into this topic, I think, causes some apprehension in some of us, right? It certainly did in me. I want to encounter this wise, loving God from a place of trust and surrender. That's a hard concept for me to wrap my brain around. I read in a book I was reading, you guys know I read a million different books, but I read this statement that said, the more fully you relinquish yourself to him, the more you will discover that he has your best interests at heart. right? And that's connected up with Romans 12, where it says, his will is truly good, acceptable, and perfect. So God's goal is to bring us to total surrender. Total means nothing held back. That's a hard place to reach as a human, because nothing held back means I am the most vulnerable I can possibly be. So we need the Holy Spirit to come in hard to accomplish that. But it can be done. And you know, we see stories of surrender in the Bible all the time. One of the most famous stories is early in the Bible, in Genesis 22. It's pretty quick as you start to read the Bible. It's a famous story of the surrender of Abraham. And so I want to talk to you about Abraham for a minute. He's an interesting character. Abraham had to surrender several times, but his ultimate act of surrender comes in Genesis 22, and I'm going to read some of it to you. It's where God asks him to sacrifice his child. And there's a lot of context leading up to that, where Abraham is an old man and his wife is barren, and God has told them, you will have a child, and they don't believe him. And Sarah, his wife, takes matters into her own hands, and they end up having a child through another woman because they don't think that Sarah will be able to do it. It's a really long story, a really good story in Genesis, about that process of trusting God. God honors them anyway, and he gives them a child, Isaac, and he's the child is born. And then God comes to Abraham and says, you've been obedient in some areas, disobedient in other areas, you and your wife. And now I'm going to ask you for the ultimate surrender to me. I'm going to ask you for the total surrender to me. And so in Genesis 22, sorry, you get my Bible real quick. In Genesis 22, it talks about Abraham's faith being tested, right? And so Abraham, it talks about God telling him, take your son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So Abraham takes Isaac up to the mountain and starts to build the altar where he'll sacrifice his son, right? When it says there in 22 verse 9, when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it and tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice, and at that moment the Lord called down, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your only son. I cannot imagine what that must have felt like for God to say, I need total surrender. And what that meant is nothing is held back. And so Abraham, this child that you waited for so long, that you tried to circumvent the process for, is here, and I'm going to ask you to now sacrifice him back to me because I need nothing less than your total surrender. And this is an area where I need to find out if you're willing to give this up. Now, God promised in the Bible that that kind of sacrifice wouldn't be asked for anymore. That was something that the pagans had asked for years. Child sacrifice was not an unusual thing in this time, in this culture. But God forbid it after that and said that it would never be asked for again. So he's not going to ask you to sacrifice your child in the way that he asked Abraham in Genesis. Thank God, right? Literally. But what is he going to ask you to do? The idea of surrendering back to him and following him in every area, to include your children, something I work on daily, if not minute by minute sometimes. What is he going to ask you to do? We see these stories in the Bible, that one's so early in the Bible and so dramatic, it cannot be lost on us, the importance of total surrender back to our God. It can't be lost on us. So we have this concept in the army of a reserve, right? So anytime you're going to go out and do a mission, you have a main effort, which is the main decisive effort. They're the ones who are going to do the battle. You have supporting effort, who is doing the supplementary things to reinforce that main effort. And then you have the reserve. And this is what we hold in reserve in case the main effort doesn't go correctly. In case that mission doesn't go the way that we wanted it to. In case we lose so badly in that main effort that we then need to bring in our reserve in order to complete our mission. And I think about this in this scenario that we're talking about with surrender. And God was saying to me, you've surrendered so many areas, but you're still holding a reserve. For many reasons, right? Are you holding the reserve because you don't believe my main effort will accomplish what it's supposed to? Are you holding the reserve because you don't trust me and you need to have some human control and something to fall back on, something that belongs to you that I don't have control over? Are you holding the reserve because you're afraid you need to enact plan B because you're not sure I'll do what I said I would do? Abraham and Sarah held reserve. They held this other, one of their servants as a reserve, and she then slept with Abraham, and they fixed the problem. They went in and decided the main effort, God providing Sarah with a child, wasn't working. So now we're gonna come in. We hold something in reserve, right? Then God wanted to see if Abraham was gonna hold Isaac in reserve, or will you give him back to me? After I fulfilled my promise to you, will you give him back to me in total surrender? So I think about this idea of reserve. If plan A doesn't work out, I'll bring my reserve into the fight. I'll bring my plan in and I'll fix this. Or I'll give everything to God except this. This is mine. I'm going to hold this because either it's way too important to me and I'm afraid something else will mess it up. It puts me in a place of too much vulnerability and I'm not going to go there. Right here, big sign, right? Or I don't trust to go all in. That's too scary to me to go all in. You know, the interesting thing is that most of the time, if you think about a mission that you have to do or something that you need to accomplish, the more you bring to bear, the better. Write everything in. But counter to that in our heads is, but if I put it all in, I'm vulnerable. I'm wide open. I don't know what to do. What do I have? What can I hold on to? So it becomes a decisive moment. We have these decisive moments, right, where we have to make a decision about what does surrender to God mean? And am I willing? And can I do it? And what do I need to make that decision? What will the main effort do if I bring everything to bear against it? God being the main effort. He's the one leading the charge in your life. God doesn't need you to hold a reserve. He sees the whole picture. And oh, by the way, the reserve could potentially rob you of the complete surrender of all your assets. And you know what comes with complete surrender of everything to God? Total freedom. Total freedom. We often think that holding things in reserve allows us freedom of movement in our lives, and it really doesn't. It's counter to that. Giving everything to God and allowing Him to control it and allowing Him to put His power and goodness over it is what allows freedom. And we all want freedom. Everybody I talk to wants freedom from something. There is something holding tyranny or ruling over us, and we want freedom from it. Whether it's money or material things or control over certain relationships, control over your job situation. I want you to think about what is your reserve. What are you holding back? You have a fear of letting go. There's safety in that reserve for you. You've learned to stay in that place. And I will tell you, sometimes the tyranny and the ruling over you becomes a place of comfort because it's what you know. Doesn't mean it's right. It just means it's what you know. It's comfortable. But there is bondage in the reserve. I can promise you that. I am a living example of that. There is bondage in it. The only freedom we will find is to empty the reserve. Bring it all out. Open every door. Open every window. Open every compartment. And shine the light in there. Total means nothing left out. Total. We have dug through every nook and cranny, every drawer, every place where anything could be hidden. And we've shined the light in there. But then you say to me, but if I lay it out all down, I can't protect my heart. This part of my life will be potentially harmful to me. I understand that. There is a part of my life that I put in a compartment because I see it as potentially harmful to me. And what God is saying to me is, yes, it is harmful to you. Look what it's doing to you physically. If you would give it to me, I can use it for good. I can use it for my kingdom work. I can use it for good for you. I've heard people say, and you've all heard people say, this is my cross to bear. And maybe I thought that too about some of the military stuff that I've been holding pretty tight. Where in the Bible does it say it's our cross to bear? That's your choice. You chose for it to be your cross to bear. God didn't tell you to do that. He didn't lay that on you. Jesus took all that stuff a long time ago. And it was never intended to be carried by you. Is it your cross to bear? Did you choose it? God tells us in Matthew 11 to exchange our yoke, our heavy yoke, for his light yoke. We were never meant to carry the heaviness of this world. So what if we put the reserve in the fight? What if everything is all in? God can do exponentially more with us and with everything in our lives if we bring everything to the game. It's all in. And listen, we've got to distinguish between this initial point of surrender to Christ and the ongoing lifelong process of surrender. It's an ongoing process because you will have to do this over and over as things are revealed and as they come up. But what if we were intentional about looking for it? What if we were intentional about saying, what am I holding? What am I holding? Let me release. And then later something else comes up. Let me release. What if we were intentional in that process? How can that initial unconditional surrender, right, that initial point, simplify your subsequent points of surrender along the way? We talked about Abraham's sacrifice and surrender, and he had many points of surrender. I encourage you to read his story in Genesis. Man, what a story of realizing over and over the blessing of the surrender. You get to see it several times in Abraham's life. He really developed this idea of going and not knowing, right? This idea of this aspect of surrendering to just go all in, not knowing what God was going to do, but trusting and letting God show his power. God wants to show off in your life. He wants to show off for you. But he can't do that in the areas that you won't let go of, that you're holding on so tight. For over 25 years, the Bible tells us, Abraham didn't have a visible shred of evidence that God was going to fulfill his promises. Not a visible shred. And he surrendered anyway. So do you feel like there's something God's asking of you that seems unreasonable? I understand that. Paul talks about that in Romans, right? Of these places where we offer ourselves up to God as a living sacrifice over and over and over so that God can show his power, so he can show you what he can do. The things that seem the most unreasonable will be the places where God can show up the biggest. That's the point. What would it mean to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God over and over and over? We've got trust, we have tyranny. That's our option. We can trust the promises of God, which will give us freedom to live joyfully under his protection and power, right? Or live under the tyranny of that which you will not surrender, because it will rule over you. I can promise you that. The Bible tells us that. You can't withhold things from God and not have them reign power over you, and it's not the kind of power you want. It's that heart-rending moment that we have to get to with God for him to say, can you trust me? And for you to say, yes. He's not unmindful of the fear and the tests and the trials that we have to go through and what this will take to come to this point of surrender with him. He understands that. He extends to us the same assurance he extended to Abraham in Genesis 15. He said, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Do not be afraid. Whatever we surrender is more than matched by the exceedingly fantastic reward that God has for you. So I want you to look at some areas that you might need to surrender. I want you to look at your life and your time. I want you to look at what you say and what you do, what you have, your will and your control. Look at where your affections lie and the relationships that are important to you. Look at yourself. where are the areas where you're holding a reserve? And maybe it's like me. Start to look at these areas where you have some weird chronic pain that the doctors keep saying, there's nothing there. We can't find anything. And then sit on your couch and pay attention to when that muscle seizes up or when that pain comes and go, God, what are you trying to tell me? Right? I want to think about what Logan told you all last week about sitting and praying for revelation. And I want you to pray for revelation in lots of areas because I think God's got a lot to tell us. But I want you to pray for revelation of what you're holding in reserve, and I want you to listen. He may be revealing what needs to be laid down. He may hit you over the head with it like he did me. I never get the quiet, still, small voice. I get the battle ram, right? Marcy, listen up. You are in your living room in Texas, completely safe, and you are on a full-on sweat like you were about to go into battle. Maybe we need to deal with that. What do you think? What do you think? And how loving is that God to reveal that to me in a safe place where I can sit with him and say, I feel the feelings, but I'm not fearful because I trust you and you're here with me and you're revealing this for a reason. And there's goodness in that. And so I can sit in that fear a little and sit in that discomfort and know that you're right here with me and there's a reason for it. When you pray for revelation, listen to your body. It may just tell you where you're holding things in reserve. It's all interconnected. So I challenge you to add an extra time on to the hour that Logan asked you all to spend last week. Let's spend some time praying and reflecting for revelation about where we can shut some things off. Where are some things that we're holding that are keeping us in bondage? We need to get rid of that stuff. We need to shut that off. We were never supposed to carry it in the first place. God has big plans for this church and specifically for the people in this church. I have no doubt about that. We can't afford to not do this. We can't afford to go one more year holding on to the thing that we should have gotten rid of 15 years ago, that we should have gotten rid of 20 years ago, that happened yesterday, and you can get rid of it now so it never gets into a place of tyranny and ruling over you. We can get rid of it now. We can gain freedom from it now. What if this is the year that you're going to gain freedom from something that has held you for years? Now that is exciting business to me. What if we give it to God and get it off? And we get in an ongoing, lifelong process of surrender to God. And he begins to be able to use us in a new way. We begin to feel his presence in a new way. Let's pray. God, I'm so excited about the year 2021. We praise you for this time in our lives. We praise you for your revelation through your Bible to us. We praise you for the people that you've shown us and the things that you asked them to do. We're so grateful that you're so clear with us. But we're also grateful that this space of surrender and trust to you will be met with nothing but love and power and freedom. You sacrificed your son so that we would have freedom. Man, we want to grab onto that with both hands, God. I ask that you take us to that initial point of surrender, if that's where we need to go, or that you give us energy to stay on the lifelong passage of surrender if we're already in. We're all in, God. We want to see what you have for the people in this church. We want to see what you have for your city. We want to see what you have for your creation. We know that this time in history would be something that may have been a story in the Bible had it happened a long time ago. You've had so many lessons for us through this, so many things you want done for your church and your people. We don't want to miss it. So, Lord, I ask that we take the blinders off. We take the chains off. We come out of whatever bondage this world is holding us in, whatever event, whatever relationship, whatever thing has happened to us that we've holed up and compartmentalized away from you, that you would be able to come in and open our hearts in a new way. We would give those things up to you. We would see freedom and power. You'd be able to use us in a new and energizing and exciting way. I pray for blessing and favor to rain down on every one of your people. They would feel your joy as they start this new year. They would feel your plans for them. They would know that they are seen by you and loved by you. Lord, we lift these people up to you, knowing that you have great plans for all of them. Lord, we surrender this year to you. We surrender 2021 to you. This is the year of freedom. We pray all this to you in your son's holy name. Amen. So glad I got to spend time with you all today. I'm excited to see where we're going to gain freedom together. Let me know if you're willing to talk about that with me. I'm always right here. Would love to hear about it. I'll continue to let you all know as God walks me down this path of freedom. Got some real stuff I have to dig around in, and I don't want to. And those of you all who know me have known I've avoided this for a long time, but I'm in. I'm all in. God's got work to do, so I'm excited to do that. I wish you a great first full week of January. I love you. Have a good day.